Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for July the 30th, 2018. This is David Corey along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. Tonight on our show, our special guest is Jerry Ensminger. Before I turn things over to Richard Hurley, I'd like to remind our listeners that we're also a call-in show, so you can let us know what's on your mind and ask Jerry questions. Our toll-free call-in number, if you want to grab your pen and paper, and this number covers the entire United States, is 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number, 1-888-627-6008. Now let's go over to Richard Hurley. Good evening, Richard.
Hey, David, thank you very much, and good evening, everybody out there. Thanks for joining us here at the Veterans News Hour. Tonight, our special guest is Jerry Ensminger, who is a co-founder of the activist group The Few, The Proud, The Forgotten. Jerry is intricately involved with the issue of water contamination that occurred at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, between 1953 and 1987, and he has been fighting for veterans whose health was adversely affected by the exposure to this water contamination. However, his fight began on a more personal level when his 9-year-old daughter, Jane, died of a rare leukemia. In 1983, at the age of 7, she was diagnosed with leukemia and was the only child in the entire family's known history who had been diagnosed with cancer. She was subjected to many bone marrow extractions and spinal taps, fighting the cancer for nearly 2.5 years before succumbing to it. As a grief-stricken father, he struggled for years to make sense of what happened. It was Jerry's conviction that Janie's leukemia was caused by toxic chemicals in the drinking water at Camp Lejeune, which Jerry did not know about until 1997, when a federal government report concluded that for nearly 3 decades, the tap water at Camp Lejeune had been contaminated by toxic chemicals associated with childhood and adult cancer, especially leukemia. President Barack Obama signed the Jerry Ensminger Act into law in 2012. And so without any further delay, I would like to welcome Jerry to the Veterans News Hour. I appreciate, Jerry, that you're coming on our show tonight, and I want to offer my condolences again about your daughter, Janie. As you indicated to me earlier today in our pre-interview, today would have been Janie's 42nd birthday. So I know you must have a heavy heart tonight. But with that being said, how are you doing tonight, Jerry?
I'm doing fine, and it's an honor to be here. And I'm ready to answer any questions that you have, and maybe your listeners might have.
Well, appreciate it, Jerry. And again, my condolences with regard to Janie. About a week ago, Robert Wilkie was confirmed by the Senate by a vote of 86-9 to lead the VA. Secretary Wilkie will lead the government's second largest department with 360,000 employees serving the nation's veterans. It seems that lately, the department leadership has been affected by infighting over the role of private medical care for veterans. You have personally met with Mr. Wilkie, so what is your opinion as to how he will do and the future of the VA? And in addition to that, why don't you give us some background on Secretary Wilkie, because I know you have had personal experiences with him.
Well, Robert Wilkie has worked for one of my senators, Senator Tillis, as a senior advisor since 2014 when Senator Tillis was elected. I didn't really have many interactions with Mr. Wilkie prior to him being appointed the acting secretary of the VA back in April. But I found it very telling that whenever he took over as the acting secretary, he was getting a briefing from the the lead counsel, the attorney for the VA, concerning a hearing that was coming up in the lawsuit that we filed against the VA for the Freedom of Information Act request that we filed 3 years ago. And that triggered his thoughts that, hey, this is all about Camp Lejeune. And just so happened that Mr. Brooks Tucker, who had worked with Senator Burr for 8 years, was now the Assistant Secretary of the VA for Legislative Affairs. So he called Brooks into his office, Mr. Tucker, and he asked Mr. Tucker if he thought that I would be amiable to come up and meet with him about the VA's subject matter expert program, which is what our FOIA request is all about. And Brooks said he didn't know, but he thought I would. So he contacted me and asked me, and I said, sure. So Mike Partain and I ended up going up there on the 1st of May to meet with the acting secretary to VA, Mr. Wilkie. And, you know, I think that alone speaks volumes for how this guy is going to work. On issues such as Camp Lejeune or other big issues where people have opposing views, he's not just listening to his people. He wants to hear both sides. And I think that's noteworthy in a leader. I think any leader should hear all sides.
I've got a couple of things as you're talking. First of all, you mentioned the subject matter expert. For our listeners who might not be familiar with that, why don't you give a brief summary about the SME program, subject matter expert?
Well, the subject matter expert program, I call it a hurdle, was formulated and initiated back in 2012 and 2013. And the problem with this is, above and beyond the standard claims process that the VA has in place, they went ahead and initiated this so-called subject matter expert program for Camp Lejeune claims, which is an additional hurdle that the only environmental issue that the VA currently deals with that is being subjected to this additional hurdle in the claims process are Camp Lejeune veterans. That's question number one. Why? Well, I know why. At least I think I do. That was to deny more of these claims. Now, these so-called subject matter experts that the VA created were not subject matter experts. These people were pulled from existing staff, of which over 80% of them are expertise in family practice. And when I was meeting with Secretary Wilkie, we were sitting in his office at a big conference table. I was sitting right beside him, and I turned around to the back where his desk was at, and I kept looking around, and I said, Mr. Secretary, where do you keep that broadsword? And he looked at me with what are you talking about? And I said, when the VA created this thing under Secretary McDonald, I said, they named all of these so-called subject matter experts who were not subject matter experts by any means. And I said, so evidently they brought them in and had them kneel down in front of the secretary, and he tapped them on each shoulder with his broadsword and declared them subject matter experts in toxic exposures. Well, he got a laugh out of that. But the fact is that we have looked at many of these opinions that have been written by these so-called subject matter experts, and their opinions reveal that they are not subject matter experts by any means. In 2014, I had two veterans who had kidney cancer, and now, by the way, now kidney cancer is one of the presumptives for Camp Lejeune. But this is 2014. Both of these opinions were written by the same so-called subject matter expert. And this subject matter expert wrote in his opinion that he had done a thorough review of two decades worth of studies on trichloroethylene, which was the most prevalent contaminant in the water in Camp Lejeune. And he could find absolutely no evidence where TCE causes kidney cancer or any other type of cancer. Well, when I saw these opinions and in these denials, they denied these two Camp Lejeune, these two Marines' claims, I hit the roof. And I went to Capitol Hill, and I went to Senator Burr. And I showed him these opinions and these denials. And he goes, yeah, what's the point, Jerry? And I said, look, Senator, first of all, in September of 2011, the United States EPA reclassified TCE as a known human carcinogen. I said, in 2012, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, or IARC, reclassified TCE as a known human carcinogen. I said, in the years subsequent to that, our own National Toxicological Program reclassified TCE as a known human carcinogen. I said, Senator, the strongest evidence for these powerful agencies to reclassify TCE, or trichloroethylene, as a known human carcinogen was based upon the evidence that it causes renal cell carcinoma. I said, AKA kidney cancer. I said, for God's sake, this is a subject matter expert? We've got opinions written by these so-called subject matter experts where we have proven that they took citations directly out of Wikipedia and pasted them into their opinions.
Jerry, if I may, what was the senator's response when you...
Well, he couldn't argue with me. I mean, and you know, during our meeting with Mr. Wilkie, you know, we laid all this out to him. And by the way, the last omnibus bill that passed, there was a requirement for the VA to write a report back to the Senate, to the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, about why Camp Lejeune is the only environmental exposure issue that they deal with, why Camp Lejeune is the only one that is being subjected to an additional hurdle in the claims process, which is this so-called subject matter expert review. And we have not seen that report yet, but it'll be coming out soon, I hope.
Do you think Secretary Wilkie would put an end to the SME program?
Well, I asked him to, and he said, "Well, what would we go to?" And I said, "Back to the normal claims process for right. all the claims, for all the claims that are filed for health effects that are not covered under the presumption." I mean, that's what Vietnam veterans are subjected to. They go through the normal claims process for any ailment that they try to claim for Agent Orange. So why is Camp Lejeune different?
And his response?
He was very impressed with what we showed him. I mean, we showed him this stuff in black and white. We had the actual opinions there. And, you know, I mean, to his credit, I mean, I think it's noteworthy that he even met with us.
Now, you've been picking up the gauntlet here since 1997, and I know you've testified in Congress.
Nine
times. That's unbelievable. And Secretary Wilkie, is he the first VA secretary that you've actually had a chance to sit down and talk to?
He's the only one.
He's the only one who would meet with you. I assume you tried to meet with the others.
Well, no, I never really asked to, but, you know, and to Mr. Wilkie's credit, or Secretary Wilkie now, I didn't have to initiate it. He did.
Yeah, that's terrific.
I noticed a news article today.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up in the Washington Post.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, that leads back to some of the stuff that I've heard, that before he accepted this appointment, that he actually demanded that he be allowed to make all of his changes and in personnel and be and make his own appointments to these positions.
And he made that, according to the article, he made that demand directly to Trump.
Yeah. If you're going to be held responsible, just like back when I was a leader in the Marine Corps, you know, if you're going to be held responsible for the performance of your unit, well, by God, they need to give you the levity to make your own appointments in leadership positions. Which brings me back to Brooks Tucker. Mr. Tucker, I worked with him for 8 years on the Camp Lejeune issue. 8 years when he worked for Senator Burr. I don't know anybody in my lifetime who has a stronger work ethic, that is more honest, and the fact that he is a retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel, I think that he would be a great pick for Secretary Wilkie to be his deputy. Other than that general counsel that he wants to move up to that position.
Right.
He'll need a lawyer in that position. No offense, you guys, but, you know.
Oh, the VA has enough lawyers. God knows how many they have. Yeah. Rick, can I ask a question here?
Yeah, please, David. Jump in.
Jerry, when you were on our show previously, towards the end of the show, and we ran out of time, but you were shedding some light for us about the difference between the two lists that are involved with Camp Lejeune. As you know, the statute, which President Obama signed for health care coverage, has 15 conditions, and then the regulation, which the VA implemented last year, has only 8. Could you maybe tell us more about why there's a difference between the two lists? And then the second part of my question would be, do you see any changes on the horizon for either list?
Yeah, well, there is definitely a need for an amendment to that original 15, that law, the Janie Ensminger Act. The way that the list came up for the 8 health effects was that there was a meeting in July of 2015, I believe, 2015, with Senator Isaacson, Senator Burr, Senator Tillis, their staff, Secretary McDonald, and some of the cats and dogs from the VA, and other VA committee folks, and Senator Isaacson. And after the introductions were made at the beginning of the meeting, which was being chaired by Senator Isaacson, as soon as he opened up the floor, well, Secretary McDonald jumped out and took charge and said, look, I'm going to implement a presumptive status for Camp Lejeune. I mean, it just rocked everybody back on their heels, because Senator Burr and Senator Tillis were about to rip him a new one.
Wow.
And he knew it. So he came out with this announcement, and, oh, by the way, ATSDR, the director of ATSDR, the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, was there along with their lead epidemiologist, Dr. Frank Beauvais. And Secretary McDonald then looked over at Dr. Bricey and called him by his first name and said, Pat, he said, would you be willing to commit your agency in helping us come up with health effects that can be attributed to exposure to the chemicals that were in the water at Camp Lejeune? And he said, we will include on that list anything that has sufficient or moderate evidence for causation. Well, Dr. Bricey responded in the affirmative and said that they would work with the VA on creating that list. And ATSDR did their due diligence. They filed a report. And there were 10 health effects that ATSDR said should be included in the presumption. Well, the VA took one of them off, and that was kidney toxicity, kidney disease, and the Office of Management and Budget at the White House took off scleroderma.
Wow. Now, why would they do that? I mean, they're not the experts. Why would they?
don't ask me why.
You know, okay.
I had a damn fit.
Yeah.
When I heard that, and but going back to the renal toxicity or kidney disease, it's one of the most claimed health effects for Camp Lejeune veterans that the VA gets. Gee, go figure. And secondly, the VA had commissioned a report through the IOM, the Institutes of Medicine, back in 2014. And the IOM even said that, you know, kidney disease, you know, they could not refuse kidney disease. Now,
wow.
The VA has been promising that they were going to, ever since that report from the IOM came out, that they were going to review that report and issue their own statement about that report. Well, we're still waiting.
Right.
And that report came out in, what, 2015? So
wow.
That's how the 8 health effects came to pass for the presumption. The law, what they did on that law was take that defunct what was it, the National Academy's report on Camp Lejeune. They took anything, all the health effects off of that and added them to that law. It was a, excuse my language, but it was a bastardized list. It didn't even have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma on it, and I raised hell about it and got that put on there. So that's how it was originally 14, then it was 15, and some of the health effects that are in the presumption are not on the list of the 15. So, you know, we've got to get that added. We've got to get those married up.
Right. And I noticed one from when I first started following the news reports on the Camp Lejeune problem, and I'm in Florida, was a lot of stories about male breast cancer, which, as you know,
yep.
That was listed under the law name for your daughter, but it did not end up on the list of 8 for service-connected compensation. And that kind of surprised me because, I mean, of course, I don't know the whole story behind that, but that surprised me that got nixed. And I was just wondering too if you had any thoughts or predictions of which ones might have the greatest chance, renal toxicity or the scleroderma or maybe others that you think might end up back on the disability list.
Well, on the presumptive list?
yes, sir.
I believe that renal toxicity or kidney disease will get back on there, and I believe scleroderma will be put back on it eventually. You know, when I talked about ATSDR doing their due diligence, I truly respect Dr. Bricey and Dr. Beauvais both. There are some people at ATSDR, I would not give you the powder to blow them to hell. But Dr. Bricey and Dr. Beauvais are two professionals. I respect them. I respect their work. And when I approached Dr. Beauvais about the lack of breast cancer, you know, breast cancer not being on the list, he said, Jerry, I researched every study there is, and he said there's not enough scientific evidence to put that on there right now. And, you know, Mike Bartain was disappointed by that, and I understood the, you know, his disappointment, but because he is a breast cancer victim. But, you know, I said, hey, when we asked these people to do something, I said, we got to respect the science. I said, and they're working with science. They're not working on emotion, Mike. And Mike understood that. And, you know, through the years that I've been fighting this issue, you know, I've had to tell some Camp Lejeune veterans that contacted me about different health effects that they've got. I had to explain to them that, hey, look, you know, I've been involved in this issue for however many years. You know, next month, August, will be 21 years. And, you know, I don't know of any scientific studies that cover the health effect that you're complaining about. So, you know, I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can do.
Right.
I mean, you know, people got to respect science, and I've come to respect science through this fight. I've learned an awful lot.
Well, that's absolutely necessary, because otherwise, what standard are you going to apply? Like you say, you can't just apply a standard of emotion. And on the subject of science and evidence, Jerry, as we all know, Camp Lejeune has been the base military installation in the forefront, but we know there's a lot of other military installations that have had toxic contamination. Any thoughts on Camp Lejeune being a precedent for more of these presumptive lists applied to these other installations? Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, but that leads me to something else, and something that's currently taking place, and that's this thing about the Blue Water Navy and Agent Orange exposure.
Well, tell us about that. That was going to be my next question there, Jerry. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us about that.
I mean, these two go hand in hand, because there is no science on that issue. There were no water samples taken out of the ocean. I mean, these people were 12 to 15 miles off the coast of Vietnam. There were no water samples taken out of the ocean to see if there was any Agent Orange. I mean, and it's too late to do that. There were no water samples taken of the ship's water systems if there was any Agent Orange that made it through the distillation plants. They're relying on a Australian study, which almost all the ships that the Australian Navy had off the coast of Vietnam were operating in brown water and blue water. They were going into ports, taking on water at the ports. So, I mean, you're talking apples and oranges there.
I see.
And, you know, for the House of Representatives to willy-nilly pass this thing and send it over to the Senate, who's holding a hearing this coming week, on this thing, the VA committee, you know, after all the years and all the documents that we collected right out of the Department of the Navy and Marine Corps' own files, that we were most definitely exposed. Do you know how many times it was thrown in my face, in Senator Burr's face, in Senator Hagan's face, in Senator Tillis's face, Representative Miller from the House, Representative John Dingell, that, and the argument that the opposition was making was that it would be premature and irresponsible to award benefits to the Camp Lejeune victims until all the science was in. Well, I didn't get on my high horse about it. I went up and pushed for funding to get the science done. And it took years and years. But we got it. Now, if there is a correlation between Agent Orange and these folks that were only served out in the 15 miles off the coast of Vietnam,
right?
There are epidemiological studies that can be done. They can take the sailors that were actually there serving and take the health effects that are listed on the presumption for Agent Orange and find out, okay, how many of them are affected by one of these presumptive health effects, and then study their civilian population that never served over there, that wouldn't have had any exposure, potential exposure to Agent Orange, and find out, you know, well, is this just an aging population that is coming down with these? Is there a big difference in these health effects between these two groups?
Right.
But you've heard the term junk science. I've heard it all the time.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Well, in my opinion, this is junk legislation. Because there is no science. There's no science to back this up. None.
And Jerry, if I could add one thing, comparing some of the rules for Agent Orange versus Camp Lejeune, as we know, on the presumptive list for disability compensation for Camp Lejeune, the veteran must have served for at least 30 cumulative days, some point between August of 1953 and December of 87. For the Agent Orange presumptive list to kick in, there's no 30-day requirement. There's only one day. There's only one day boots on the ground. And as you were saying just a moment ago about diseases maybe more prevalent with aging, well, you know, three of the most common that we see Agent Orange-related claims are ischemic heart disease, prostate cancer, and type 2 diabetes, which for a population, you know, of male veterans, you know, talking about the prostate cancer, who are in their 60s or 70s, to say that one day in Vietnam is the cause for their heart disease has raised some critics. I'll just put it that way. Raise some critics.
Well, I mean, in reality, when you're looking at ships that sat out 15 miles off the coast and they're claiming that there was enough Agent Orange in that water that was diluted by trillions and trillions and trillions of gallons of water.
Right.
Come on. I mean, but, hey, if it did get out there, I mean, there are epidemiological studies that can be done to compare the two groups. I mean, and if there is a marked increase in these folks, well, then, by God, they get the benefit.
Hey, David, excuse me one sec. I think we got a caller on line 4.
Okay. Go ahead. Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour. Who's joining us?
Mike?
Yes, this is Michael Turney.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I don't have a question or anything, but I did want to say real quick that I appreciate what you're doing, Mr. Ensminger. It's I said a while back that when this first started, I'm in the Army. I don't have a dog in the fight, but really, I want to make a point that we all have a dog in this fight. if the VA is going to do it to one for something, then it's going to do it to the other. So every veteran needs to be paying attention to this issue, and every veteran needs to do whatever it takes to support it. I don't care what branch you're in, because we've got to be united on all fronts in these things. So you've got my support from my side. I appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate what you guys do, Rick and Dave. I appreciate all the help y'all giving me. And I just wanted to say keep up the fight, and I'm behind you on it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye.
Well, good night. Well, Jerry.
But, that takes me to the initial question of these PFOS and PFOA, or PFOS and PFOA, that has just erupted in the news here lately and really is prevalent. And in the drinking water at a lot of these military installations, if Congress sets a precedent by granting this Blue Water Navy legislation and these benefits to those folks without any science, what the hell are they going to do with this PFOA and PFOS?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, hey, you're opening Pandora's box here.
Right.
And I think a lot of what's going on with this issue with the Blue Water Navy is that this is a contentious midterm election year, and they're playing politics with this, and they better hope that they don't win re-election, because this thing's going to come back to bite somebody in the ass.
Well, I think that's a great point you made about the precedent that's being set, that if it's not based on science, it's going to cause all sorts of problems, because you're going to have everyone.
Well, how are they going to say no to all these other you're right. Talking about this stuff being used since the early 1970s, late 60s, early 70s?
Right.
You're talking millions of people, not to mention their dependents, the base employees, civilian employees.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this continues to develop, and whether at some point the VA and Congress just kind of draws a line saying, well, Camp Lejeune is particularly unique, and they're unwilling to extend the same presumption to other installations, even one or two at a time. So I certainly don't know where it's going to be going. And
Camp Lejeune's not unique.
No, I know this that, but blue, I mean, as far
this,
as the law.
This Blue Water Navy thing is a unique one.
No. I didn't mean that it was by unique. I didn't mean that it was unjustified. What I mean is, the aside from the Agent Orange, which covers a lot of Vietnam veterans, what I mean as far as like the stateside environmental contamination cases, because there are many bases around the country that have had histories of contamination, but whether or not they end up being on Camp Lejeune type of presumptive list was really what I was wondering about, because I don't know what's going to happen. I agree with your concerns about it. It's got to be based on science. Otherwise, you're just going to have pretty much chaos, and you're going to have it all based on political considerations or emotions or something else.
I don't have a dog in this fight, because people and PFOS were not involved in Camp Lejeune. I didn't serve on a ship 15 miles off the coast of Vietnam. But I know what hurdles were thrown in front of Senator Burr and Senator Hagan and Senator Tillis and all the other legislators on Capitol Hill whenever we were pushing for benefits for the victims of Camp Lejeune. And back then it was, well, this would be premature. It would be irresponsible to, just willy-nilly assign these benefits to these Camp Lejeune victims until all the science is in.
Right.
And you know, I'm not anti-veteran, and I'm not anti. Nobody can claim that I'm anti-veteran. Nobody can claim that I'm anti-environmental exposure. You know, I mean, hell, I've been fighting this exposure for 21 years.
Right. Right. Well, there's another issue.
Let me chime in here something. You know, and I, again, I'm just trying to take the devil's advocate here. Waiting until all the science is in, which we've been doing for quite a long time on a lot of these diseases. I mean, you know, we've got men and women dying every day from these diseases, and the only connection that we can really make is the fact that they were all at one time exposed to Camp Lejeune. Shouldn't we at some point take it upon faith that has to be the intervening cause, even if we can't get the science data up to date and we're still waiting for it? I mean, these men and women are dying left and right.
Well, Rick, can I just jump in here? The issue that we see now, also related, is the open burn pits used for years in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, there are veteran groups that are pushing Congress to pass legislation based on existing science, because these toxic substances, many of them are already on EPA lists of being cancer-causing and toxic to human beings. So if it's enough science to be the basis for EPA regulations banning open burn pits in the United States, why do we need further studies? So these same veteran groups are opposing efforts to study this stuff to death because they think it's just delaying tactics to stall. And, you know, there was that burn pit documentary called Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, which kind of reflects the perception of many veterans about the VA's attitude. So while it needs to be based on science, the question is there already enough science out there? You know, why are these contaminants already recognized by the EPA as being hazardous to human beings?
I'll tell you, you know, the most egregious statement that was ever made by the Department of the Navy and the United States Marine Corps public affairs people was, okay, once the water modeling was done and all the documents where we proved that we were exposed in our water, they came out and then they changed their tune and said, okay, we agree, you were exposed. Now prove that it caused your health effect. I mean, putting the burden
right
on the victim, not the perpetrator. Right. And it's the same thing with all of these issues that come from the Department of Defense. When's somebody going to hold the perpetrator responsible for this?
Right.
And, you know, this bill for these benefits for the Blue Water Navy, they're gonna take money. They're gonna increase the cost for non-disabled veterans' home loans to pay for the benefits for these Blue Water Navy guys, folks. I mean, hell, that's putting a tax on veterans to pay for another group of veterans' benefits.
Yeah.
And that's pure bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's something that there isn't a whole lot of publicity about. You know what I mean? I mean, how?
Well, but there needs to be.
Right, exactly. No, I agree with you. I understand your point that there just isn't that much. There isn't analysis at that level where people understand what Congress is doing when they say, all right, we're gonna pay for this benefit by taking from another group of veterans.
I mean, and these, the secretary of the VA committee in the House is a Republican. This Representative Roe, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I mean, and he's the one that really pushed this thing over in the House side. And, you know, this paid for this bill is nothing more than a tax on veterans. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, for God's sake, you know, the word tax to a Republican is kryptonite, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and, you know, but, you know, since it's not a tax on the general population, well, they can get away with it? No.
Right, right. It'll be buried in the legislation, not get much publicity, and that's just the price they're going to exact on this. But, Rick, do you have any more questions for Jerry? Because it looks like we're drawing close to.
It's been another great show. No, it's just more evidence that a lot of work needs to be done, and we've got hopefully the Secretary Wilkie going in. Maybe he'll start to iron out a lot of these issues, and people like Jerry coming to the plate and doing what they're doing. I mean, we just got to keep it up and just keep on fighting the fight. I mean, as Mike, who called in earlier, said, you just got to keep fighting the fight, because that's the only way any of this is eventually going to make sense, and that the compensation that's due our veterans finally gets to our veterans.
Well, there's one more point about Mr. Wilkie that I think your listeners ought to understand. Wilkie served in the military himself, but he has a unique understanding also as a military dependent, because his father was seriously wounded in Vietnam.
Ah.
So he also has that viewpoint as a dependent. So
that's really important.
It makes him very unique, I think he's one of the best appointments that have been made in this administration, to be honest with you.
Wow,
that says a lot.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't say a whole lot.
Well, it still says a lot.
I'm not cutting on Mr. Wilkie. I'm just cutting on the other appointments. Okay.
No, I know what you mean.
Well, we'll certainly be watching Mr. Wilkie's first year. You know, the life expectancy for VA secretaries for the last few years has been relatively short. So hopefully Mr. Wilkie will be successful and avoid the kind of problems his predecessor has. It's a tough, tough job, though, as we all know. So.
Yeah, and, you know, I have no problem with the privatization of the actual health care, but there's one thing that the VA is doing that I really don't like, and they're making contracts with private companies. We just found out recently when we had our Camp Lejeune meeting up in Pittsburgh that the VA had entered into a contract with a private company from Wisconsin to do these so-called subject matter expert reviews on Camp Lejeune claims.
Wow.
And right out of the box, one of the people that was in the audience at Pittsburgh, and this is another thing we brought up with Mr. Wilkie when we met with him, Secretary Wilkie, this veteran and his wife were in the audience. It was on Saturday, and the meeting ended, adjourned on Saturday, and we all went home. When we got home, Mike Partain was contacted by this veteran and his wife that they got a letter from this private company that was assigned his claim, and that he was denied. And they actually put the name of the doctor that was contracted by this company to do his review. This woman had just gotten out of prison.
Oh, man. Wow.
For tax evasion.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff. Well, Jerry, we're out of time for tonight. We want to really thank you again for being on our show a second time. And we'd like to thank you for all the work you've done on this issue, and we wish you the best. We hope you'll join us again sometime on our show when it's convenient for you. So we got to run for tonight. Thank you very much.
Hey, Jerry, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Take care.
Well, listeners, it's time for us to go for this evening. I'd like to thank you for listening into the Veterans News Hour. I'd like to thank our producer, Mr. Doug Newsom. We hope you'll tune in next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on VBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.